This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
Hi. It's Foreman time for me, for you.
That's right.
Daz. On show 1500?
Yeah.
On show 1500, we went with it's Foreman time?
Yes. I feel...
Disgusting.
I feel like something was stolen from us.
What did you want?
What do you mean, what did we want? Well,
what did you want?
What do we want?
Football time.
I always want football time.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. I get it. Deontay Foreman is not on any of your teams. I understand. But the people who have him are very excited.
About it being Foreman time?
Yes.
Welcome in, show 1500. They tell me this is a big number.
It's not only a big number, but it's a round number. And I think that's actually what's special about it.
I mentioned it to my wife this morning that it was show 1500. She said, we just did show 1000.
Yeah.
She said that was a long time ago.
Yep.
It does feel like it was like last season.
About 500 shows ago.
And... I was talking to my wife about it, and then I extrapolated, and I said, that means that there is at least 15,000 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Of the Fantasy Footballers podcast. Because, like, I mean, our shows, sometimes they're 45. More, like, often they're an hour. The Megalodon is always 2.5 hours. It's like,
but they're not 10 hours, which is what it would require
for us to have
15,000 hours.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because this isn't show 15,000.
Yeah, I did my math wrong. I added a zero.
But there are 1,500 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a lot of hours to have talked into a microphone.
I did the people are going to live to see the year 3,000.
Yes.
Like, I rounded a little bit too high there.
December 9th, 2020, show 1,000. So, here we are, show 1,500. And
Did you know there's at least 1,500 hours?
It sounds so much worse.
Oh, I know.
Like, yeah. 15,000, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a lot of...
I was pretty pumped about that.
Should have just let it slide so people are impressed. 15,000 hours. We will never get there.
Just to confirm what everybody speculated, I saw the YouTube comments and saw the tweets. Yes, I did take a few days to commit to growing my facial hair out. That is why.
Thank you.
That's why I missed. I needed to get to stubble.
Honestly,
I can look at you again.
We benched him.
Yeah.
We said this is for your own good.
Go on the IR.
Yeah.
It would have been funnier
recover.
If
a three-show IR. Get healthy. It's better for the show.
Get hairy.
Get hairy. Get back. Yeah. We have some the producers have some special stuff planned. I did listen to the podcast while I was out.
It was great.
Congratulations, man.
And unsubscribed.
Oh, no.
Immediately. No, I thought you guys did a great job. And you teased the fact that we have our top 10 nicknames of all time. I assume all three of us have no idea the result.
I have no idea. I
do not know.
I was thinking this morning, I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to find out, like, according to the Foot Clan, the number one, like the,
that's
what
exciting.
Is the number one nickname? And so we're doing that on today's show at the
end. And why is it Darnell Anderson? That's what we're going to learn today.
I hope so, baby.
I believe in the Foot Clan. I don't think that's on there.
Brooks, how many names were in the poll? Over the past 1,500 shows, how many nicknames did they have to choose from?
I think I saw 108.
108 nicknames, and we whittle it down. So that'll come at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. They've also prepared some sort of game. Some sort of game that I know nothing about. Did you have something you were going to say, Al?
I was just going to say, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, you guys had made a promise that we need to make good on.
Oh, crap.
What did we do?
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
This is not good. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
What was that? Is that a new musical?
It's podcast. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize this. This is show 1491. We are 9 episodes away from show 1500. That will be Fantasy Footballers the Musical.
Welcome, everybody. Yes, we've made it here. It's true. And so we're celebrating with a musical review. 1,500 episodes of the Fantasy Footballers Show. Our fans, the Foot Clan, we owe it all to them.
Hey!
Loving Michael Keaton and our dinner butter trend. Woo! And there's plenty more to go with Andy's voice-cracking intro. In a world of football fantasy, crying when we see our wives, with the deucers in Deucer's Alley, hitting that 55. Now Andy, Mike, and Jason, everybody places please. The audience is waiting for this very special treat. Raise the curtain now, let's go. It's our 1,500th show. Andy, Mike, and Jason on the goal line. It's football time.
Oh my goodness.
That was
something
awesome.
Woo! I am way more hyped for show 1500.
Dude, we're on the goal line?
Yeah, I mean, here we are. Now, they got the last part wrong. They said it's football time. So,
yeah.
I mean,
Foreman
time.
Please update the lyrics.
Wow.
Whoever put that together, well done. Well done. Give them a round of applause.
Yes. I got you. Great job, producers.
Wow.
Great job. Every 500 shows, they really
do knock it out of the park.
They knock it out.
They save. They store up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They've been certainly storing up for 500.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't see that coming.
No.
And I was really thrilled that there was something that someone else was singing. Because I thought you literally had gotten to the end of that set.
Dude.
And then you just played the music and you were waiting for us to sing.
I was ready.
And well, you were the only one.
I was ready, and then that
Welcome to Deonta Foreman.
And then the song came on, and then it just kept going.
It did go for a while. Thanks for hanging around. We do have a lot to talk about. We have starts of the week, the Boom Boom Kicker. We got matchup previews. We got some news to talk about. Let's jump in.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
For those listening at home, there were some delightful video highlights accompanying.
Yeah, that's
accompanying
correct.
Accompanying
the.
You
got worse every time.
Yeah, this. The lyrics were on the screen too. Brooks would like you to know. Couple quick updates: Seahawks, Cardinals. Kenneth Walker didn't practice, chest injury. Jackson Smith and Jigba hip injury. Tyler Lockett with his weekly hamstring limitations. I don't want to read too much into any of those yet. We'll wait for the Thursday practice report.
Yeah, it's
they're new injuries for Walker and Jigba.
The Walker one is more worrying to me, considering he has been, you know, basically on a snap count for 2 weeks because he keeps popping up on the injury report. Like, the man is just – he is not healthy. So I have my concerns there.
Well, it's crazy because, and I'll just preview this. I mean, I'm going to get myself shamed on Friday. But when we jump into, like, DFS, you know, Zach Charbonnet is sitting there for 4,200 this week.
That's nice.
And then you go and you just look at the game logs for Zach Charbonnet, even with the opportunity. Nice. And it's abysmal. It's not even like he's not hitting seven or eight fantasy points for DFS. He's just doing nothing. So it makes it a kind of a real tough situation.
Because
he should be, if he gets more opportunity, he should be good. But
if you look, I mean, he's pretty efficient with his opportunities oftentimes. You know, he was 5 for 53 2 weeks ago. But his opportunities, 4, 7, 5, you can't do anything with that.
They're not proportionate to snap count either.
Not at all.
It's weird.
But also, though, the last 2 weeks, wait. Someone is in the
Kyle DeBorgogas here, baby!
What?
Kyle DeBorgogas just walked into Deucer's Alley.
What is happening?
Unbelievable.
Go ahead and throw that camera over there. He's back in the building.
Oh, I heard it was a big episode. So.
My goodness.
Let's go.
Okay, dude, this is great news. I hope that
he moved back to Arizona?
So, I hope we didn't pay for that.
Wow.
I would have passed.
The bill's in the mail.
So when he said he was up for pickleball, he meant it.
All right. All right. Fair enough.
Wow.
Fair enough.
You know what?
Okay.
We're getting surprised today.
Yeah, we are. This is tremendous.
Welcome in, Kyle.
I wanted to make sure, like, when we opened the door that you didn't think someone was going to, like, fight you or do something else. But
I heard the door, and I saw what is going on.
And I was like, what is Jeremy doing
here? Yeah, he's making noise over there.
Goodness gracious.
Kyle DeBorgogas in the building
welcome
again.
Welcome back to the studio.
Okay.
You're unwanted.
my point for back to
I don't know
football.
How you go back to football.
My point for Seattle and Charbonnet was the last 2 weeks, it was the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. So
it's not this week.
That is a difficult team to get running back points against, and now you get the Washington Commanders.
I'm still reeling from I thought you were in Georgia right now. Welcome in. James Conner, limited. I think he's back. You guys talked about it. The reports we had was that he was ready to go, and we're hoping. And then Michael Wilson, he missed last week. He's been limited with the shoulder. We have a lot of optimism around his potential involvement. The snap counts are always high for Michael Wilson. Like, he'll be out there a lot. I think we're all excited to see Hollywood, number one, McBride's involvement, number two,
Absolutely.
And then Michael Wilson with the potential to be more consistent, because Wilson is a good player. Like,
I really think if Wilson is on your waiver wire and you have a spot, pick him up, not because it's a absolute guaranteed slam dunk or even a high probability. The point is at this part of the season, what can change for players like this where their situation improves drastically? And this is a drastic improvement.
Huge, absolutely massive. So hopefully, like Jason said on the show a couple days ago, it is the inverse of the Stafford, you know, where you've been living this life where they've been piecing it together. Like, we talked about, like, it's funny because the Cardinals got progressively worse as an offense. Like, Dobbs started the year and it was pretty competitive. You know what we don't talk about a lot with that hasn't been brought up is just, like, we act like losing James Conner meant nothing.
I was just
when
gonna,
it's massive to being able to threaten the defense.
When you talked about the offense that looked good to start the year that got much worse, I was going to bring up, if you look at when that happened, it's when James Conner left. The fact that you've got James Conner, Hollywood, Trey McBride, Michael Wilson, Kyler to run that, and no defense, it is the recipe you're looking for in fantasy football.
And just be comforted. This is not bias from Arizona folks here. I would love us to lose every game the rest of the year. Like, I'm sad that we will now not have the first pick, because I think they will compete and win. I think they're only – do you know the line for that game off the top of your head? Mike, do you know that line?
I don't.
Let's see if you can guess the line for the Cardinals-Falcons. And I kind of teased maybe my surprise. But
I do know – I mean, last I had heard, anyways, the Falcons actually have a pretty high implied team total. I'll go Falcons -3.
I believe it's 1.5.
So okay, I know for sure.
Falcons, though? It's Falcons it was, 1.5?
I know for sure that it was at one point Falcons -2.
Yeah,
moved to Falcons -1 last I saw. Is it back up?
It's
to
1.5.
Okay.
Yeah, it's -1.5 right now. And look, if you want to root against Arthur Smith, this is your pathway.
Yeah, everyone's a Cardinal fan this week.
Did you watch Arthur? I have now, by the way, Brooks, you surprised us with the Borgogan, and you surprised us with the musical number. I want you to know I'm now turning the clock off. Like,
nice.
I don't care how long
good
the show
you,
is.
Man.
Oh yeah.
1500 shows, I've never turned the clock off. So that was the first time.
We have no schedule.
Because you know who else turned the clock off was Arthur Smith when he decided to talk for 5 minutes about all this highfalutin. And Kyle, you're in the state where he resides, which, you know, that's troubling.
That's
to
why
begin
Kyle's
with
here.
It's He's a bit like, too close.
Did you escape Arthur?
Yeah, after he shaved his mustache, I got out.
I mean, the beard looks bad, the mustache looks bad, and babyface looks bad. So Arthur's still searching.
He's just, look.
Maybe some chops?
He's.
Oh, yeah, do some gnarly lamb chops?
That would fit his face pretty well, because his face is it's a little weird looking.
Lamb chops, and then is it the handlebar?
Sure. Where you want him to tie in?
No. Just the biker, where the mustache goes down. It's not connected on the chin.
Yeah,
not
none of that's
going to
fix
either.
The goal line offense.
Yeah, the question was posed, why is Bijan not getting many opportunities inside
so
the red
condescending.
Zone?
It was so condescending.
See, I didn't take it that condescending, but...
Oh, you're in. You're in on Arthur. Jason and Arthur.
He is trying to explain away, and he couldn't. He just kept talking in a circle of, like, basically what I think he was trying to say, and that's the best anyone could say. They gotta interpret and say, I think what he was trying to say was there have been more play calls for him that just didn't go to him. Pass options.
No,
that
I heard it.
They passed.
Yeah, it sounded. Yeah, cool.
Flags on the play that were called back.
No, it's bullcrap.
Absolutely,
it's bullcrap. Can you imagine a world where Kyle Shanahan gets up behind the microphone? Okay, this is the real situation.
Yep.
Look, I am probably the one that goes to bat about NFL v fantasy the most, where it's like, look, players don't, they don't, you know, we're like, oh, why does Kenny Gainwell get snaps? We're like, well, there's intangibles, right? Like, why do those players get snaps? This is indefensible.
Yeah.
Like, if Kyle Shanahan got up there and goes, well, yeah, we really wanted to get McCaffrey the ball around the goal line, but sometimes we just audibled out of it, and sometimes we just took what the defense gave us, and then there's a holding penalty, and then there's a fumble, and look, it's not that complicated. You take the ball from the center, and then you turn, and then you hand it
to a great player,
to the player that you drafted in the top 10 of the draft, and then when you go into the press conference, I'm going to give him all the words he needs. He'll say, "Yeah, we gave it to Bijan." When they say, "Hey, what happened on the goal line?" Yeah, we gave it to Bijan.
Why'd you score that touchdown?
You know, or
we gave it to Bijan.
Yeah, or why? You know, you didn't score on the goal line. Yeah, we lost with our best though. You know, we put the best foot forward. Oh no, we can't get Derrick Henry the ball around the goal line. Too many trick plays. I mean, sorry.
No.
It's I didn't get to react on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Arthur Smith. But you're just digging the hole deeper, Arthur. Well,
and here's the thing. It's not
just
the goal line.
They're going to fill it in with you in the hole.
If you're talking about inside the five, okay, all the stupid trick plays, the Jonnu jet sweep, that's nonsense. Tyler Allgeier has been okay inside the five. He's 3 for 6 carries, 3 touchdowns on 6 carries. That's fine. But total carries, this is insane. Tyler Allgeier has 116 carries this season to Bijan's 103. That is indefensible. You cannot possibly give a guy who's running at 3.2 yards a carry more carries than the guy running at 5 yards a carry. You're hurting your offense, period.
We could live with Allgeier as goal line option.
Yes.
If it wasn't so disproportionate. And he may be the biggest victim of all because we all resent him. And he's not doing anything but playing football. And
I like him. I like Tyler Allgeier.
Well, you would. He's 3.2 a carry. That's right in the that's a Madison range. You like those guys.
Yeah. Look, hey, tough grinders. Someone's got a lunch pail, man.
David Montgomery, full participant. He's going to be back out there. I know we have slightly differing opinions, I think, of what things will look like with him back out there.
I believe he goes straight back to the David Montgomery role, carrying the bulk of the work and having Gibbs – where we saw him earlier in the season, you think Gibbs has earned more touches and
for sure, for sure. I mean that this is the 12th pick in the draft, and we expected it to maybe take some time, but I believe what I said on the show was that, you know, there's just going to be not a massive difference, but you're going to have more opportunities. He's more comfortable. Some of the stuff that, you know, we hadn't got to see, we got to see. So, and Montgomery's been hurt twice. That was my other point, is like, yeah, you do need to, and to me, it's 10% difference, you know, in maybe the amount of
the carries on first and second down instead of going to Montgomery.
Correct.
Gibbs.
Yeah, just like a small difference. I think Montgomery's a great play. I think Gibbs is a good play. Justin Jefferson on playing in week 10 would be a little aggressive, according to his head coach, Kevin O'Connell. So we don't expect to see him, but 21-day window.
It was opened. This is great news. We kind of looked at the yellow flag, the worrisome flag of if they were to not open it up this week, they could end up going all the way to the bye week. You wouldn't see him until like week 14. That's not happening now. Can't happen if they want him to play again this year. So he'll be back either next week or the following week for sure.
And Khalil Herbert, according to Tom Pelissero, not expected to play tonight, which is why Mike opened show 1500 with the iconic line, "It's Foreman time."
Yeah, that it'll either look real good or real bad tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, all morning long, everyone's been saying, like, you just smash play Deonta Foreman. And I do agree that you should play him. Like, the last week, I think, was the first week of the season that Carolina didn't finish in the bottom half in terms of fantasy points given up to the running back position. And it was close, right? It was like 13th. So you have to play Foreman. Like, he's been effective. I'm not sure what you get tonight in this game.
Yeah, I agree.
But
and also Brian,
like, will you be happy with Herbert if he does, or sorry, not Herbert. Will you be happy with Foreman if there's no touchdowns tonight? That is a question I think worth answering.
Unlikely. But also, I mean,
is Roshan in play because the matchup is so good?
I don't think so. The 20, we had 20 carries last week for Foreman. That I expect it to be another. They're going to try at least to be a real run heavy script. Brian Burns for the Carolina Panthers, one of their like their guys. He won't be playing tonight. So that's it's all the witch's brew is all there. Now, is it going to be helpful or poisonous? We will see.
That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. And I'm still reeling from seeing the Borgogan over there.
This is weird. It's like he never left.
I don't know.
I've always been here, hiding in the
what
back.
What is the attitude in Atlanta much worse than even out here? Like, are you guys actively despising your own head coach?
Y'all's reaction was pretty visceral, but people, yeah, don't like him at all.
Mm.
Are they actually calling for, like, is the seat hot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're probably going to the playoffs, man. That's the worst part about this.
Go Cardinals.
If you look at their schedule coming up, it just makes me so sad that Arthur can't get fired. The Saints, the Jets, the Buccaneers, the Panthers.
How stubborn is he? Genuine question, because it matters to me. Trade deadlines are coming up, right? We've got, I believe, next week a trade.
Our League of Records trade deadline is next week.
Yeah, and then we're talking some targets and stuff like that. But I'm asking how stubborn is he, because, like, I've kicked the tires on Bijan. But it's like,
I do.
How stubborn are you? You say Tyler Algier is the best player in the world.
I really, truly. I watched the entire press conference. I saw everything he said.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's my job. You got to do it. I genuinely believe Bijan Robinson gets the ball a ton, has a good game this week. I think going forward, rest of season, he's a running back one from this point forward. That's still my belief. I know he's hard-headed.
You'd take Breece over him, wouldn't you?
I would currently take Breece over him, yes. Okay. Breece is getting like 20 carries a game.
Yeah, and Bijan dreams of such numbers. All right, into the forecast.
Fantasy forecast.
This week, the Chiefs and all their stars, and the Dolphins and all their stars, and the Eagles and all their stars, and then the Rams are on bye.
I like it.
And we got another Germany game.
Bonjour.
You know, I kind of was into it last week.
Yeah,
because
you know why?
The time change.
That's why.
It started at 7:30 instead of 6:30 for us, and I was like,
7:30 is fine.
I had just woken up, and I was like, oh, I got a little time before the game.
Wake up, turn a game on.
7:30 is fine. 6:30 is
no.
Not fine.
What are we doing?
The Colts, 4-5, playing the New England Patriots at 2-7. Is it just me, or do you imagine Bill Belichick was just super frustrated to have to go to Germany for this game? The DraftKings Sportsbook line is Indianapolis -1.5. The over-under is 43 points. Do we get a track meet again? Indianapolis, they've been giving you some exciting games. The 43-point over-under is fine. I mean, the Colts are somehow, this is true, the only NFL team to score 20-plus points in every single game. That's Ooh. Wild. Yeah, I mean, I like New England to win the ball game, but it's going to be tight, and Gardner doing his thing. Mac Jones, he is their quarterback.
He is still their quarterback, yeah. That's what we can say.
Ramondre Stevenson, Jason, you're in this week.
I am very in on Ramondre Stevenson this week. The Indianapolis Colts are one of the worst defenses against the run. Over the last 6 weeks, they've given up the most fantasy points to running backs. I believe you could play Ezekiel Elliott as a decent flex option. You know, the way that I view this, especially because it's come on the ground, touchdowns have been hard for New England to come by, and the Colts give up a lot of touchdowns to the running backs. So, I'm seeing one apiece here. I think Ramondre gets in the end zone. I think Zeke gets in the end zone in this matchup in Germany.
Okay. What are we looking at on the other side? We had Jonathan Taylor get the majority of work last week. It was, you know, the week before, you guys were kind of alluding to the fact that maybe he really was banged up in the second half. It's hard, though. I mean, it was obviously just one week.
But it was what was the expectation from before. So it's not just 1 week out of the blue with no rhyme or reason why Jonathan Taylor would have the carries. It's
well, expectation from us. Is that what you're saying?
I think expectation from the world. When you give Jonathan Taylor that much money, you would expect him coming off of injury that it would take a couple weeks. I mean, this is what we said, but a lot of people said it would take a couple weeks until he becomes the 70-30, the main leader of this backfield. And that happened. You know, 74% of snaps this last week, 18 carries, 23 opportunities in the game. He went back to the role that they paid him to exist in. So I don't think that goes away without an injury.
Mike?
I'm in complete agreement. You had, just look at the routes. Like, Jonathan Taylor ran 21. Zach Moss only ran 4. Moss only had 7 opportunities. I think we are full wheels up for Jonathan Taylor, and I would be trying to bench Zach Moss now.
Okay, Michael Pittman.
Yeah, just playing.
Demario Douglas.
If you're, I can
Zay
see
Flowers or Douglas.
Ooh, Douglas.
That's where I lean.
Yeah, you got to stick with the target share.
JSN or Douglas. JSN dealing with the hip, but it's so Washington.
I love the JSN matchup this week. I would go JSN over Demario Douglas, barring today's practice report. If JSN is a full participant. And, you know, yesterday was kind of a rest day on Wednesday. Then I'm on the JSN side. If he's struggling with this new hip injury through the week, then I would go Demario Douglas.
Hunter Henry, 7 targets last week. He's always a kind of like a spot start tight end guy.
You can fly with him if you want.
You like him or Njoku more this week? Njoku's got Baltimore, but he's scored in 2 straight.
I like Hunter Henry a lot more. The matchup is pretty good against the Colts. Hunter Henry is definitely in streaming consideration. I was looking for him in the DraftKings lineup, but unfortunately not on the slate.
Would you drop Josh Downs right back into your flex position if he was active this week?
Yeah, probably. Assuming we get in, like, you know, at least a limited practice day or a full practice at some point, like, I'll be playing him over Douglas.
Yeah, okay. I would agree with that.
Let's take a break. Back with the Texans Bengals.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not, but our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
All right, Houston and their triad of top 10 wide receivers. The Texans 4-4, taking on the Bengals, who are 5-3 and hurting at the wide receiver position. The DK Sportsbook line, Cincinnati -6.5. The over-under is 47. Both teams coming off big wins. Cincinnati looked good last week. Houston, the insane 39-37 win over the Buccaneers. That game was awesome. I mean,
it was.
Yeah,
I mean, if you just keep in mind, like, that if you had the over under of 70, you should have taken the over last week, which is wild. Cincinnati's on fire, though. And but we got the bad news. I mean, T. Higgins injured at practice.
Yeah, that's not good. A hamstring issue that came up. You know, it's a new injury. And if it's legit, it's funny how sometimes we don't look at practice injuries the same. You know, it's like, it's just a practice. An injury is an injury.
Right.
And it's later in the week. So if he misses a full practice, you know, he was only limited, so maybe it's okay. But if he misses a practice, you've got to be prepared to not have Higgins.
Well, the worst part is, and like, I'm sorry, like, this isn't really actionable news or anything. I'm just saying, like, I had T. Higgins last year, and there's a lot of people that had the experience of, oh, T. Higgins is playing. Great. No,
well, because
no, he's not.
Your default is like, start your studs when they're active.
Yes, and T. Higgins has a history of burning us by being active and then going and taking a snap, and then he's done. So I'm not at all saying that's happening, but if you had Higgins on your team last
year, gotta be frustrated.
You're thinking about that.
Because a hamstring injury is not, like, this could be more than 1 week.
Right.
This could be having that level of doubt whether he plays or not. You know, the fact that he could come off the field, and then there's confidence in the building that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be out there, but he's not been practicing. He's got that back issue. He came down so hard on that.
Yes, he did.
On that attempted catch. So all of a sudden it's like, Tyler Boyd? Tyler Boyd seems like,
maybe,
like, he might be maybe a legit play this week. He's been more involved.
And last week was just a hodgepodge of their tight ends as well.
I mean, he's always on the field, and if you don't have Higgins, yeah, 6-7 catches is not out of the question for Tyler Boyd.
I would agree that in a full PPR, if they're down receivers, Tyler Boyd could be okay. This is going on 2 years, though, where wide receivers have not done very well against the Houston Texans. Some of that's because you can run on them easily, but you know, I'm not super excited to start Tyler Boyd, whereas, because you can run on them easily, if they're down other assets, I expect to see a massive workload for Joe Mixon. Like, very, very good play this week. And he's been pretty good the previous 2 weeks. I think this is like NBA Jam rules. He's going to catch fire this week.
Yeah, he's a smash star, but do if you were down Chase and Higgins, are you just pulling out the blindfold, strapping it on your head, and starting Joe Burrow anyway? Because this is a team that right. we've talked about, you know, disappointing quarterback performances against them.
If both
of those guys are back and you think Mixon's going to smash, I mean, it's like
if
he does.
If both Chase and Higgins were gone,
would you start Sam Howell against Seattle over Joe Burrow? That might be the smarter thing to do if both guys were out.
Here's a real question, and this is for Mike, because we have these two guys.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Dino Jr. Champ. If Chase and Higgins are gone, would we roll with Burrow as we currently have it set, or would we put Kyler in there?
I think I'd still stick with Burrow.
Too bad I'm the main manager there. I'm going Kyler.
I get it. But saying if I had to make that choice just myself, good. Joe Burrow is back, and yes, he may not have wide receivers. That's the scenario we're talking about. But Houston 28th against tight ends, giving up almost 12 points a game, and we saw both. You know, we saw Irv Smith, and who else scored last week?
Drew Sample.
Freaking Drew Sample. What is this all about?
I think it's important to remember that this high-flying C.J. Stroud-led 39-point offense put 13 points up against the Panthers the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has not been, you know, 470 and 5 every week. If you played Stroud the week before, it was 140 and 0.
If you actually look, when they were at home against Pittsburgh, he was top 10. When they were on the road against Atlanta, he did not have a good game. They were at home against New Orleans. He had a good game. They were on the road against Carolina, an easy matchup, terrible game. At home against Tampa Bay. So it's been a little bit of red light, green light, but it's specifically split with home versus road games. This one is in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't like the matchup for him.
No, it's certainly – I don't think we should react to last week. He is still a rookie. He's going to have up and down games. The defense is going to be good. They're going to want to run the ball if they don't have their wide receivers, them being the Bengals. The Bengals are still favored by 6.5. So I agree. I mean, this. I don't think he's an absolute locked-in starter. For instance, my weekly barometer has been Kyler. Like, would I start Kyler? I would start Kyler over C.J. Stroud.
Damian Pierce didn't practice Wednesday. Today and tomorrow are going to matter a lot as to whether he's back out there. The Bengals have struggled against the run in the last 6 weeks, so that would be something where, you know, is he in flex consideration if he's active with Singletary struggling so much?
If Pierce is active?
Correct.
Zeke.
I would go Zeke. And then, but flip it on the other way. If Pierce is out, it was... For fantasy, was not good for Devin Singletary, despite the shootout that was going on. But 75% of the snaps, 15 opportunities, full bell cow usage. Would you go back to that? Trust the peripheral numbers.
I would. I realized that it wasn't very.
If he was by himself,
yes.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, last week's matchup against Tampa Bay, that they're a good run defense and. Struggling with their passing defense, obviously, as we saw. So I would be fine with Singletary. I would take Singletary over Zeke if Damian Pierce was inactive.
Put the four pass catchers in Houston in order of who you think will be most effective for fantasy. And I'm talking Dell, Noah Brown, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz.
I would go... I'll still have Nico Collins at the top. Then I'll go Tank. I get Tank. Tank was the one who had the huge game, but he is pretty hot and cold. And then Dalton and Noah Brown. Just I don't know. I just can't. I can't give the respect to Noah Brown. I'm sorry, man.
I feel like I might put Dalton Schultz number one there. There is not a better schedule adjusted matchup on the season for tight ends than the Cincinnati Bengals. Dalton Schultz had 11 targets last week.
It's
given
fair,
positional
yeah.
scarcity. You know, if you're factoring that in, not just total fantasy points, I would think he might be the most important pass catcher on this team. And then I agree with Mike. I'm still right now going to keep Nico, then Tank.
Okay.
Are you Nico Tank or Tank Nico?
I'm always Nico first.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Tank's awesome. I mean, I think he's a big play guy, but I just like Nico's size, the prowess around the red zone. Tank's a better, like, it's funny because if I had to start like a second flex, I'd rather play Tank than Nico because I'd want that boom potential, and he's got that a little bit more in my opinion. The Saints at 5-4. The Vikings 5-4. The game's in Minnesota. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, New Orleans, -3 on the road. The over-under is 41. That gives the Saints 22 points, the Vikings 19. Minnesota's won 4 straight games. New Orleans, they're in first place in the South, and they have the easiest rest of season schedule. And I do include this game in that. I mean, it's weird because, you know, Derek Carr is getting it done. And that's the end of that sentence. And part of getting it done is coming off the field at times
for
Taysom Hill. And whether to take a Wildcat-style run or to throw the football a few times, you know, Taysom Hill has been exceptional. Taysom Hill is like no longer, in my opinion, just a tight end play. He's a flex play. Like he's somebody that you can, you know, play – if you have a good other tight end, I don't see why you can't play Taysom Hill.
Yeah, we talked about him a good bit while you were out, saying it. Things are different now for Taysom Hill. He's getting far more snaps. It's not just a week here and a week there. His role looks pretty secure at this point.
Yeah, it's a month straight of him averaging 16 fantasy points. His lowest has been 8.8 fantasy points, which is fine. I mean, wide receivers have down games that get to that level. I would agree with you.
Chris Olave is an interesting discussion because, yes, he got back into the end zone, but the numbers, 6-46, not impressive. The week before, 5-46, 7-57. Hasn't been over 100 yards since week 3. Catching 50?
No. Only 50% of his targets this year are deemed catchable.
Yeah. Well, because he does not get anything that is easy.
Yeah.
Very rarely does he get the opportunities close to the line of scrimmage. Those have gone to Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas before last week. Rashid Shaheed is a more effective deep play guy right now for this offense, which is crazy, but it's true. So Olave is sitting in this place where, you know, the targets are downfield and Carr is struggling to be on the same page with him. Like, it's easy to say, okay, Carr is kind of holding Olave hostage. That would be one way to put it. Except for he's not holding Shaheed hostage. So, like, if there's a miscommunication on a play and Olave breaks out and the ball was supposed to go in, that's not a catchable target. That ball's not thrown to where he can catch it, and it's not Carr's fault on those. So I do think it's both sides are to blame on this. He's had some drops too.
But the nice thing about that, to me, I think everything you're saying is accurate and correct. We've seen so many miscommunications between those two. They are not on the same page. But that is not something that lasts forever. Not being on the same page is something that is actually correctable. You keep practicing.
To Jameson Williams.
Well, that's, I think that's...
he's on his own page,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's on his own page. We have seen Chris Olave in sync with a quarterback. We have seen Derek Carr in sync with wide receivers. These are two capable players, and when they get on the same page and start connecting, I'm not terrified of Olave. I like him in this matchup. On the season, the Vikings are the place where you beat them is at the wide receiver position. So I'm good with Olave in my lineup. I'd certainly start him over Jordan Addison on the other side of the field.
I'm not necessarily making any comments that are actionable. I'm just laying it out there. Like even looking, I know the quarterback for Olave has switched situations, but I'm looking at last year's numbers. You know, it's like he was kind of hot and cold. There wasn't a lot of in between.
Is this a coaching problem?
I just think that like we were really quick through 7 weeks of Chris Olave's career to kind of declare something. And I like the talent that we saw during that time. And he had a couple more explosive games after that. But he also had a lot of off games. And his catch percentage last year is about 60%. So it's not like we're, you know, this has kind of been a pattern is what I'm saying. And we saw Winston and we saw Dalton and we've seen Carr. But I don't know.
Right now we're seeing Olave's most mediocre version of himself. We are unimpressed with the fantasy results. If he just straight continued this the entire season and never got better, what he is would be a 94 receptions for just over 1,000 yards, and the touchdowns don't come. That's a pretty good season. 94 for 1,000, that's great. Well, I mean, it's not a
superstar.
The
94 is great. The 1,000 is not great for your expectations on a 17-game season. I hear what you're saying. I'm just laying it out there so that people have, like, I think it's important every once in a while to pull up, you know, to park the car for a second. And these decisions help, or these discussions help, like, dynasty context for long term. Like, we don't know what the future is in New Orleans. He's a wide receiver 19 right now on the year. I mean, that's fine. It's not what you hoped.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all hoped that Olave was going to step into, like, the Jefferson Chase shoes to begin the year. Like, if you're staring down long-term Olave versus Garrett Wilson, I'm taking Garrett Wilson.
Oh, I 100%. Olave was drafted as the wide receiver 12, it looks like, on average draft position. So finishing right now at wide receiver 19 would be a disappointment.
Madison, he was your hungry for more yesterday, Mike. You know, he's going to have every opportunity to fail or succeed.
Or succeed.
I'm putting it in that order.
There's a world where he succeeds.
If that world exists this week, I think it'll be through the passing game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough this week.
It's but no, look, I think he's a trade for candidate. Sometimes there's those players that are overperforming at running back, and then you look at Madison's situation with Akers out, and you're like, oh, maybe I target Madison, try to grab him now because the volume will be there. Would you rather have Rashad White or Madison?
Rashad White.
Rashad White.
Rest of the season?
Yeah.
Jordan Addison? Addison is in such a weird position. This is not a great matchup.
No, I don't want to start him.
And then Jefferson will be back. And then it's like, can Dobbs support multiple wide receiver options? He didn't really support one in Arizona. So you got to imagine Jefferson's better than Addison.
For sure.
So that'll be an interesting thing to watch rest of the season. Addison doesn't need a lot if he makes a big play, but Osborne didn't practice. Hawkinson limited. He'll be back out there. And that is kind of where you want to be the last – 6 weeks, Saints defense has struggled against the tight end.
Yeah, it's the one place they've given up a lot of points. They've been pretty good across the board.
You cut Michael Thomas in our league of record. Now, is he kind of out of contention because of the goose week?
He was someone that when we look at what we are going to get from Michael Thomas, I mean, obviously the goose week was bad, but we felt like we could find that. You know, we could go on the waivers any given week if we've got to start a wide receiver and go find a Josh Reynolds to plug in there that's going to do what Michael Thomas can do. And we had some other interesting assets to pick up.
Who were they?
They were defenses.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Chiefs?
It was the Kansas City Chiefs, yes.
Yeah. You act like this is not in a public feed. Yeah. You were talking like it's a secret. It's like, I could have looked.
Don't tell anybody. The Kansas City Chiefs are
going to secretly play the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Just spring it on somebody. All right. He's still keeping it quiet.
Yeah.
Green Bay's 3-5. Pittsburgh's 5-3. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Pittsburgh -3. Over under is 39. I cannot fathom the Packers winning this ball game. I can't even create it in my head, the situation where they score enough points to win here. But yep. That line's not huge, so maybe I'm crazy. But Pittsburgh, you know, 5-3. I think this is the worst kind of matchup for Jordan Love.
There is not...
Go on the road and play TJ Watt. Good luck.
It's extremely difficult. I mean, going through, like, who... You know, Aaron Jones, yeah. It looks like Aaron Jones is...
The end.
Is back. But other than that, Christian Watson, who's been incredibly disappointing. Romeo Doubs is essentially either you get a touchdown or you do not, and then you're just sort of, well, I'm sort of happy. And even in week 8, he didn't even hit 10 points with a touchdown, which is that's a pretty amazing game to get the padded 6 there and not make it. And then what's going on with Jaden Reed? like he looked like he was taking the next step. You had the game against Minnesota, a huge jump in snaps up to 78%, comes through with 4 for 83, and he is rewarded with 39% of the snaps the following week. And yeah. I haven't heard anything about it.
Jaden Reed's such a good player.
Was Reed banged up? I agree. I think Raiden is good. Meanwhile, they're like, no, we got to get Dontavian Wicks
just called him Raiden.
Raiden?
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah, you took Jordan Reed and made him Raiden.
What the?
Yeah.
What, God of Thunder? What is Raiden? Lightning? God of Lightning? I don't remember.
Something like that. I think Christian Watson is a good player. I think Jaden Reed is a good player. I think Romeo Doubs is a good player. I don't think Jordan Love is a good player.
Do you know Christian Watson? Remember the 4-game stretch?
Mm-hmm.
Where he had the 7 touchdowns or whatever with Rodgers?
Yep.
He's only ever had one other game in the top 24 since then. Since or before. Like that 4-game stretch, he's never had another one. Like he's
interesting.
Even including those games, he's a D in our consistency because he's 41% of the time in a workable number. It's really hard right now to have enough trust. Like you at least need a baseline with Jordan Love week to week to have trust in him. I don't have that.
But yeah, and I like the matchup. I like the talent, but you can't trust his body right now. He is extremely banged up. He's dealing with multiple injuries. And
talking about Watson?
I am talking about Christian Watson, gotcha. Yeah. And so given how banged up he's been in these games, I think he's dealing with like head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Knees and toes.
And so I can't put him in my lineup, even though I want to with the matchup.
2 targets last week.
Yeah.
2. Kenny Pickett and company. You know, the one area where the Packers have been slightly weaker has been against running backs, but you've got a committee here. Najee looked okay last game. Jaylen Warren, electric, limited opportunities. Lay it out for me.
Yeah, I mean, the matchup is really good for both of these guys. You imagine this is going to not be a super high-scoring game because you've got 2 weak offenses, but when you get around the goal line, if they do get around the goal line, I think Najee would be the play over Jaylen Warren simply because of the touchdown upside in this specific matchup in a low-scoring game to just kind of play the power running game against a softer Green Bay defense. But either guy, you could flex in a pinch.
Mike, do you believe that George Pickens is the kind of squeaky wheel that gets the grease?
No. Deontay Johnson is incredible. He's going to keep getting the targets. It's George Pickens will get targets, and they're going to be downfield targets. It's just he will be either incredible or terrible.
Tennessee is 3-5. By the way, this is our last matchup before we have, some sort of special game prepared. I see nods from Deucer's Alley and the Borgogan. So one more matchup, then we'll do the game, and we got starts of the week, and then we'll count down those top 10 nicknames, which I'm very excited about. Tennessee's 3-5. Tampa's 3-5. Wheels have fallen off for Tampa.
Yeah, they have.
The DK Sportsbook line, Tampa -1. The over-under is 39.5.
I mean, the Bucs really should be, what, 4-4? I mean, the fact that they lost that game at the end to C.J. Stroud with, like, what do you have, 40 seconds? That was amazing.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup. The cornerbacks for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are their primary corners injured. This is part of, you know, you saw C.J. Stroud put up 470. It's very difficult to run on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's very easy to throw against them right now. I think even a banana could do it. So, Bananarama, is he in starting consideration? Considering what we... Thank you.
He is in DFS consideration.
Okay.
Me. I don't think you need to put him out there. I think that there's probably a handful of guys like Sam Howell, like Geno Smith.
Would you go Taylor Heineke against the Cardinals?
Yeah, I would.
I don't think so. I actually would play Levis on that because I don't know if Heineke can throw 2 touchdowns. But I think it's fine if you want to go that way.
Hopkins,
what's the situation on London? Because that would matter a little bit to me.
Yeah, I don't know if we have an update yet.
Last I heard, the bridge was falling down. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Sorry. Hold on. On show 1500. Can we hit them all?
Yeah. I'll see myself out.
You made fun of yourself on that one.
Yeah, well, I knew it before I said it. I was like, don't do it.
If I told
don't
you,
say
if,
this,
if
Jason.
I told you it was in my head at the same time.
Oh, of course, man.
And, and I made the choice to absolutely not say
yeah,
it.
You're a smart man.
Limited on Wednesday, so we'll see for London.
I mean, limited Wednesday, that's optimistic.
Levis will not have Treylon Burks. He's not expected to play. I want to bring up Kyle Phillips because Kyle Phillips got a lot of targets. Somebody has to fill in. Like, you brought up the defense. Tampa's given up like 35 to 37 points to wideouts. Hopkins is a – I was so upset to get into the show, Doc, and I didn't have the chance to put DeAndre Hopkins in as my start of the week.
Well, spoilers.
So somebody might have done that. But Kyle Phillips is getting more involved, and I'm just throwing it out there for like DFS. I think he's the bare minimum. Kyle, who is part of the DFS show, have you guys – I considered Kyle Phillips this week.
We're going to talk about him today as a punt.
Okay. Derrick Henry, RB7 on the year. Tampa has yet to allow a red zone rushing touchdown to a running back this year.
Yeah, this is a real, your hope it's snowing in Vermont situation because it's tough sledding for Derrick Henry in this matchup. The Buccaneers have just been good for a long, long time against the run. It's a very, very tough defense to run on, and they want you to throw. They want, you know, it's like, why would you not throw the ball against a very easy to beat secondary? So,
well, Derrick Henry might do that too.
That's fair. That is fair.
Chris Godwin managed 2 for 16 on a week where Tampa Bay put up 37 points.
He was also banged up at one point. I know he essentially played the whole game, 88% of the snaps, but I don't remember at what point in the game. Jay, do you remember? Like, there was, he went down. I think he was holding his hand.
Yeah, I don't remember the specifics of when that happened, but obviously he did play the majority of game. The matchup is great.
Is there anybody you're not playing on Tampa's side? Like, would you play Baker over Levis?
Yeah, I think I would because of the weapons.
Yeah.
So Evans, Godwin, Otten, White.
Yeah, Otten is he's okay. He had a big week last week, but the Titans are very good against tight ends. So
Musgrave over him?
I've cooled on Otten. Yeah, I think Musgrave over him.
Okay. Anybody else from this game you guys want to discuss?
Nope.
I'm supposed to push this button now.
I want to play a game.
Should I be afraid? Is something else going to walk in that door?
Don't be afraid.
Can I win?
How much money can we win?
You can win.
Okay. I see a picture that says,
it says
Footballers Trivia.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Borgogan has this, huh? He's in a suit.
Kyle's the host?
How many?
All right.
Okay.
Take it away, Kyle.
All right. So I went back, looked at some episodes, and I got some numbers. So you guys need to write down a number, and the three of you guys can kind of compare your answers and see who's the closest. So it's whoever's the closest between three of you. That's what we're going for, okay?
Okay.
So we're doing some footballers trivia.
Yeah, first question, okay? Before Andy's famous intro of Ah, Welcome In, he used to start the show with, what is going on, everybody? And welcome to the show. What was the first episode number that Andy said, Ah, Welcome In?
See, I've always wondered this. I have no idea how, I don't know how it started. I don't remember. I'm gonna guess. You're looking episode number?
Episode number. And you guys will turn them over at the same time and
yeah, we'll share with answers. We'll have to share with the listening audience here. The number that I put, I'm locking it in, so I'm gonna say it, is 45. I'm gonna put 45.
Oh, you're going that? I was going way later.
Okay. It might be way later.
I went 233.
Okay. I guess there's 1500 shows.
And I went soups early. I went 33.
Okay, what's the answer?
The answer is 389.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so episode 389.
I knew it took a while.
Mike even made a point after you did it on that episode to kind of like say, oh, that's different.
Yeah.
Really?
So you used to say also welcome in or happy Monday.
That means I've only said that for 74% of all the shows we've ever done.
Wow.
That's still the majority.
All right, next question. You guys have worked through a lot of matchups.
I have a point, by the way.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
You worked through a lot of matchups since 2015. You guys have declared 1,764 starts of the week. All of them hit, right?
Yeah, they've all hit so far.
Please don't ask us our hit rate.
Jason, you've done 122 boom boom kickers.
All of them have hit.
Yeah, of course.
How many different regular season matchup breakdowns have you done? Like, you did four today, not counting those, but how many have you done since 2015? How many matchup breakdowns?
Oh, that's just math, right?
Yeah. So,
but that's tough math.
That's very tough.
So we just have to shoot our shot here.
Yeah.
Let's go.
A season. Hold on. I'm trying to.
2,000. I'm just going to throw it. I'm going to throw a flat number out there.
I will go 1,500.
I'm going to take the under on that. I'm going to go. What did you go?
I went 2,000.
I'm going to go. I'll go 1,200.
Andy's the closest. 2,216 matchups you've broken.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. You were very close.
Yeah, that was pretty close. I just did some
quick
mental math and tried to get there.
All right, this next one's a hat trick question. The first person to wear a hat on the show was Andy because Mike was sporting a man bun for a while.
Very long time ago.
It was
a hair hat.
Mike just had a streak of 44 episodes in a row that he wore a hat.
Yeah. 44 straight?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel, Jason? A man with his hair covering it 44 consecutive times.
You know, the only thing I feel is bad for Kyle having to go 44 episodes in a row counting who's wearing a hat. What is happening?
He gets high on this stuff. He loves it.
All right.
He's a stat dragon.
I'm on the show, so it's not that hard to... Okay. But
44 straight hats? Yeah,
but here, this question's about Jason. Because he's a new man in 2023.
Yeah, he is a new hat man.
Yeah.
What is Jason's hat rate since week one of this year? So what percentage of episodes of the 2023 season has Jason Moore wore a hat?
All but five is my guess. So 97%. That's my guess.
What's your guess?
I don't remember when I started. If I started by week one, I'm going to go 88%.
Then I will go 87%.
Great.
Jason's the closest.
Yes.
91%. But Andy was very close. It's 41 out of 45 episodes. You've worn a hat, my friend.
Oh, wow. I said like all but five. I just got my percentage wrong.
Okay. So we all have a point.
Okay. It's looking good. Next question. Jay Grizz first appeared as a replacement for Jason Moore on this podcast.
Yep. That's why he's named Jay Grizz.
What episode number did Jay Grizz show up on this show?
I believe, Mike, did we order Jay Grizz while we were in this studio?
Yes.
That's what I thought. And so episode number probably.
Oh, I got it.
You got it?
I bet it's got to be 200-300 in at least. Maybe more.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more.
Yes.
I'm going to say episode 500.
That's a good guess.
I'm going 500 and.
555, Mike?
I will go 425.
Okay.
All right, Mike's the closest. It was episode 376, which is the same episode that Mike cut his hair and cut his man bun.
Wow.
Yeah, I do remember that because I started the show with a paper bag on my head for the big reveal.
Wow. I didn't remember that.
Well, it's because you didn't wear a bag.
You should have kept that bag on.
It's in the Smithsonian.
Okay.
Last Ballers trivia question, okay? So I'm not counting. You guys have done 1,500 episodes. I'm not going to count that you did 108 show after the shows. Which is a lot. I'm not going to count the 147 footcasts you've done, okay? We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
We're not going to count the 116 live streams or the Spotify Lives or the SiriusXM or the Spitballers. Okay. If you wanted to listen to every single Footballers episode.
15,000 hours.
This is the question. How long would it take you consecutively if you just had a playlist to listen to all of these episodes in a row? And you know what? Some listener will probably do this. They'll turn it on. How long would this take you? How many days is my question?
This is just math.
I got to convert into. Okay. I'm going to go here. Let me just.
I'm going to go 62 and a half days.
I don't know, 300 days or something.
No, not that.
This is you don't sleep, right? This is 24 hours in a day.
Jay, what did you guess?
60 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guessed 62 and a half hours.
62 and a half days?
Hours?
Days. Sorry, 62 and a half
I'll
days.
I'm going to go like 80 days.
Fine, I'm changing mine because mine was way too high. I'll go 95 days.
It would be approximately 93,000 minutes. And Jason, you are the closest, 64.8 days.
Oh.
You listen to every single episode back to back forever.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Is that the final one?
That's the final one.
Who won?
Well, I think Jason won.
Okay. Congratulations, Jason.
Did I win? I'll take it.
You're the smartest man alive.
Great. Thank you.
I don't know. Whatever.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. That was fascinating. You dig deep.
That's a lot of footballers.
We have starts of the week and then the countdown. Yeah. So I'm excited.
Welcome to Starts of the Week, presented by Purina Pro Plan.
All right, who wants to start with their quarterback?
I'll jump in. I got Jared Goff. And look, it is a little bit risky business because it's Jared Goff on the road. But he is playing against the Chargers. The Lions are 3-point road favorites. Teams are throwing on the Chargers at the third highest rate in the NFL. Goff is averaging about 40 pass attempts per game on the road. And the Chargers are dead last in schedule adjusted points to the quarterback position. So I think Goff is in a very good spot.
Yeah, and it's on the road, but it's...
I don't like it.
It's really?
No, I don't.
I love the start of Jared Goff. Even though it's on the road, road games against the Chargers are oftentimes home games for a traveling crowd. This Lions team and fan base right now, I'll bet there's a lot of people at that game. I'm going to go next with Kyler Murray as my start of the week. I want to give people confidence to start him week one. There's going to be a lot of questions out there of whether you can. If you have one of those other, you know, six obvious starts, I'm not saying start him over that, but if you have a questionable start, you got a Sam Howell, you got a Geno Smith.
Jared Goff,
Are you still Goff?
I am
Mike's
Goff.
Mike's start of the week.
Yes, I am Goff over Kyler Murray. So Kyler Murray right now in his career, he's averaged 20.3 fantasy points per game. He's been a quarterback one in 63% of his full games played. That's behind only Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, and Jalen Hurts since 2019. And then over the last month, the Falcons are 31st in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. And we've seen younger, athletic quarterbacks coming back from an ACL injury. Deshaun Watson came back and ran the ball right off the bat.
What about the rust? You're not worried about the rust?
I mean, yeah, I do not think Kyler is going to come out here and have his best game of the season by any means. There's going to be a little bit of rust. He probably won't run the most he's going to run this season, but he is a massive upgrade over Joshua Dobbs, who has been very fantasy relevant as a Cardinal. He's actually had a handful of big performances. So I think Kyler is someone that if you've been holding on to him or if you scooped him up and you've been looking for that quarterback, I'm plugging him in week one.
Brock Purdy is my quarterback start of the week. Taking on Jacksonville, gets Debo Samuel back, full assortment of weapons with McCaffrey and Debo and Ayuk and Kittle. He's a good quarterback who's taken a lot of crap for this losing streak, but they're coming off the bye week. They've got a lot to prove. I'm very confident in Purdy with two touchdowns at least.
And I'm going with Tony Pollard against the New York Giants. I think this is it. This is the time. He is tied for the second most red zone attempts. It's been inefficient, only two red zone touchdowns this year, but the Cowboys have the highest implied team total. They are playing the Giants. They should absolutely destroy them. And a hot Kyle stat here, over the last decade, 64 teams were favored by more than two touchdowns at home, and the running backs, 30 rushing attempts, 137 yards, averaged over 30 fantasy points a game.
Did you see the line?
Tony Pollard is
Do you know the line?
I believe it's 16
yeah,
points.
Yeah, I had heard it was
16 and a half.
Yeah. 16 wasn't high enough. They're like, bet it up.
Yeah, I think this is finally the week that we get some hot Tony Pollard action.
Okay, for my running back start of the week, I'm going with Ramondre Stevenson.
Guten Tag.
Yeah, over in Germany. He's actually been the running back 9.
Yeah, the plan is working.
Over the last month, averaging 15 opportunities per game. Against the Colts, if he gets 15 opportunities, he should be great. I talked about it, but they have allowed the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL this season. And it's not just touchdowns on the season. He's averaging as many targets per game as Christian McCaffrey. So the matchup here makes him a must start to me.
It's interesting because the targets is what we were hoping would come back, that six that he had in week one, and he's had six, six, four, six. His total carries are not that high. I mean, it's 10, 9, 10, 9. Like, he hasn't been over that eight. So but it's still, been in the passing game.
15 opportunities a game, you would want it to be
Oh,
10,
yeah.
10
oh, yeah.
carries and 5 receptions versus 14 carries and 1 reception.
I'm going with Javonte Williams. This is
like
Javonte has looked better and better as the season went on. The Bills' defense is really struggling. They're allowing almost 5 yards per carry on the ground. They're also struggling through the air. That's why they made a trade. 30 opportunities for Javonte before the bye week. I think he's a top 15 rest of the season running back.
Oh.
I do.
Oh, my.
I could see it.
At wide receiver, I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. He is top 5 in target share and air yard share. So, this is a perfect matchup for him. He's playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who just got absolutely destroyed by the Houston Texans. But it's just the confidence of Will Levis. Not that Will Levis is the greatest quarterback on earth, but we have a quarterback now who will give Hopkins the star treatment. 11 targets last week. That is absolutely beautiful. Against a winnable opponent, I like Hopkins as a smash play.
Hopkins is going to be awesome this week. I've got Tyler Lockett against Washington at home.
Hot Lockett.
We're coming off a terrible week for the Seahawks offense. It was straight diaper gravy last week in Baltimore.
Oh, that's a new one.
But this is still a good team, a well-run franchise.
What episode did Jason break out the new phrase, diaper gravy?
1,500. So I think they bounce back, and the Washington defense is why you can have confidence. Washington is the 31st best in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, 30th in expected points added per pass attempt. Lockett's averaging 6 targets per game. There's probably going to be a little bit rain in this game. That's the only concern. If for some reason it gets worse beforehand, maybe you make a pivot. But I presume Lockett's had plenty of good games in the rain before. They play in Seattle. It rains all the time.
Have you seen how bad DK Metcalf has been?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, this offense, if they don't perform against Washington, there's going to be panic alarms for Geno Smith. I mean, it will be a full moving on from Geno for the franchise maybe at some point. It's been bad.
It has. It sucks, man, because that was such a great story.
Metcalf had one catch for 50 yards last week, which is a lot of yak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was it.
Mm. That's sad.
Is it my turn? No.
Yep.
It is.
Yep.
My wide receiver is contingent on being active.
That's important.
Drake London, if he plays Arizona, if he's healthy, I think Drake London is a huge play this week. Been fairly consistent before getting hurt. 8 targets a game, 63 receiving yards a game. Cardinals secondary, incredibly weak. And the ability for Kyler to put up some points. I think Drake London is set up. The problem is you don't really know where to go if he's out. Because last week, Mac Hollins got banged up. And so then Kadarius Hodge came in and actually looked pretty good.
Oh, so, man. Arthur was so ecstatic.
Yeah, because he loves playing players who nobody has their football card.
The tertiary options?
Yeah, nobody has their
card. It's unbelievable.
All right, tight end starts of the week.
Dalton Kincaid gets the Denver Broncos. It's time. Over the last 3 weeks, averaging 7.5 receptions, 73 yards per game.
He's their second best receiver.
Yes, Gabe the Babe is no longer the number two option. It is Dalton Kincaid. It's Stephon Diggs, and then it's Dalton. And then the matchup, the Broncos, 30th in schedule adjusted points to the tight end. This will be a very fun Dalton Kincaid game.
It is the week for Dalton tight ends for sure. If you have a
Dalton tight end, Andy.
And I'm going to go with Dalton Schultz against Cincinnati. Someone call a doctor because Dr. Schultz is back. He had 11 targets last week. He has been a difference-making tight end over the last month, basically killing it since week 4. He got off to a slow start. We thought, oh, he's not important to this offense. He's actually really, really good. He's a good tight end the rest of the season. But this week, Cincinnati is dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to the tight end. Look at what Cade Otton did last week. You know, the most fantasy points for tight end last week was against Cincinnati. They're going to need Dalton Schultz in this game.
Dalton Keene, tight end for the Houston Texans. No.
Wait, they have multiple Daltons?
They have multiple Daltons. Now, Logan Thomas against Seattle is my selection here, averaging 5.6 targets per game. Look to in the red zone. Washington's throwing the ball a ton. Their defense is weak. You talked about Geno and having confidence on the Seattle side. But the last 2 weeks, Seattle's been lit up by the tight end. I think Logan gets back into the end zone this week. Thank you to our sponsor, Purina Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport provides fine-tuned nutrition for strength and stamina that enables dogs and owners to take on life's adventures together. Pro Plan Sport, high-performance fuel for active dogs. It all starts here. Oh, we're into the boom boom, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom boom kicker of the week.
Last last week on Boom Boom Kicker, doing hard time in jail, I broke little groupie's back. Revered in the prison, some called me a man of demolition, not holding back my true desires. I unleashed a roundhouse fart. Instant kill, it stopped his heart. So long, Seattle's Jason Meyer.
Now,
so you're just...
I have some notes.
Yeah.
We had a Demolition Man reference.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I like that. Now, I guess if you want to stretch it, you could say roundhouse Wesley Snipes. But Sly Stallone is not a roundhouse type of guy.
So you,
no. This
you
is a Wesley Snipes.
Okay.
This was a Wesley Snipes roundhouse fart.
Okay.
All right, back in?
Yeah. Okay. I worked through my problems.
Okay, good.
Oh, man.
Glad you brought it up.
I find it a little disturbing that these... You're not just beating them up. They're like, you're killing them. They're dead. Yeah. They're dead.
I hate kickers.
I know, but that's like real hate.
Murder.
Yeah, murder is at the tippy top of hate.
To be fair, I didn't know that my roundhouse fart would kill him. But it was just a good one, you know, just a real solid roundhouse fart.
Yep.
What a lead in. All right, we have one more segment, right? We've got a special moment here.
I believe. We do. Let's have the moment you've all been waiting for. The top 10 show nicknames of all time.
Brooks, are you handling this?
Yes, sir. I've got the results.
So are you counting them down 10 to 1?
Yes, sir. Sure am. Yeah, we have.
I am so curious. 108 nicknames. And I saw people complaining that other ones weren't in there.
Yeah.
I think one-offs, maybe.
And some were like one of the more jingles, singing. Yeah. You know, David Johnson was the biggest one that people were looking for. But
it's not really a nickname.
We decided that didn't make the cut.
All right.
And we had over 5,000 votes.
Excellent.
And we're going to start actually a quick shout-out to number 11, because only 19 votes separate 10 and 11, and 11 was Pity City.
Oh,
and that was a change this morning. Last night, Pity City had the lead. But
your vote counts. Kyle, does that make you sad?
He's top 12 wide receiver. I love it.
Top 12 nickname, too.
All right. At number 10. With 1,263 votes, Fat Thor.
Oh, wow. Fat Thor?
Recency bias.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
Fat Thor.
That's,
all right.
That's surprising. Also ridiculous, Mike, that you accomplished what you did with that name.
And my Halloween costume.
All right, guys. At number 9.
All right.
Mr. B-hole.
Yeah.
Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Mr. B-hole was number 9, huh?
And I believe you said Adam Gase, but we have updated that. That is no longer Adam Gase's nickname. That is Arthur Smith's.
All right.
Number 8. This one surprised me, guys. Fireball Jones, Tim Patrick.
Wow.
Number 8 with almost 1,400 votes.
He never got to live up to that.
No.
I feel like maybe we shouldn't have called him that.
We have changed a few guys' names. Like, that tried to give him a real superhero name.
Yeah, Smash Jackson was poof, gone.
Yeah, that's not. Hey. So Fireball Jones was 8? Okay.
But you know what? Not, this is not our fault. We're doing everything we can for these guys.
And right. Yeah, he got paid.
That's true.
He probably got paid because of the nickname.
And at number 7, with about 100 votes more, Booty Scootin' Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah. Booty Scootin' Cam Newton. All right.
That was a great one.
It was.
The drop made the name. I mean, Booty Scootin' Cam Newton is okay. But when is hit that drop again. Booty Scootin' Cam
Newton. Yes, it would have been good for the show for him to be better than he ended up.
He burned bright.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
number
great.
6.
All right, guys, at number 6, another new one from recents. Voldemort. John Watson.
Yeah.
I actually did vote for that one as well. Oh yeah. I love he who shall not be named.
All right, so Voldemort. Wow, number 6. Okay.
Now we're in the top 5, baby.
All right, this one is a shocker for me, guys. Can't wait to see the reactions. Number 5. Tony Brooks James Jones Jr.
Yes.
Come on.
I voted
no, it's
for
not.
It too. Yes, baby. Oh, that's a
does that
good
shock
one.
You like it does me, Mike?
Yeah, it's not only shocking.
Disappointing?
It's disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
there's over 100 names.
How many votes did Mr. Tony Brooks James Jones Jr. get?
1,700.
Yeah,
five.
The people.
Hey,
the
all
people
right.
I'm shocked.
The people like it.
Crap.
Yeah.
Number 4?
Number 4. I am the Walrus.
Yes.
Darren Waller.
All right, we're back on track.
I thought that was in contention for number 1, for sure. The Walrus. But shaky hamstring knocks him to 4.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're
top
down
three.
To the top 3. The dump truck.
Okay.
All right.
I hope he
okay.
gets activated to the active roster. Oh, Leonard man. Fournette, by the way, for those wanting to know the dump truck. That's great. That was last year, right?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Top
that's one where Al got the drop on the spot, on the fly.
Oh, yeah. He did work the hard that day. Number 2.
Number 2. The Muth is loose.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
All right.
Okay, that makes sense. The Muth.
The Muth
is Luth.
All right.
He needs to get Luth.
He's not been Luth for a while.
He needs to get Luth.
That was the most popular shirt we ever had.
Yes.
For sure.
Do we have a drum roll or something here, Al?
We sure do.
Excellent.
Don't tell me how to do my job.
I'm just making sure.
All right. And the number one nickname of all time, Big Montana.
Oh, yes.
Yeah!
Will Disley!
Will Disley!
What?
Woohoo!
It's only because of the music.
Of course it is.
I mean, it's all of it, baby. Oh, my
God.
Big
Montana?
Nice.
He stopped it.
Unbelievable.
Big Montana number 1.
That's fantastic.
Now, how wide was the gap? Do you have that?
What, 150
That's
or
pretty
so?
Big. Big Montana.
170?
So how did this work? You voted for 10 and then the accumulation
yep.
of points?
Yep.
So people weren't putting Big Montana as number 1 necessarily, right?
Right. That's it's true, just the
yeah.
most
it was
people
the most...
had him in the top 10 of
So all... in some ways, it's almost like the most popular nicknames.
Yeah.
Because it's just it's, based on like...
It's exactly what it is.
Oh, man. We dodged... Fellas, we got luckier because Darnell Anderson was number 12.
Oh, I wanted to.
He was
the two that I'm sad
about.
Oh,
the
about,
Lizard King. I feel like that one lost the recency.
The two that I'm sad about is Darnell Anderson. I wanted him to be with, and blah, blah, blah. Because those are two of my
P. River was 14.
Nice.
Oh, see, I was a big fan of that.
Koopa Cup of Coffee was 17. What was the least popular nickname?
I'm looking at it. We got
My Sweetie Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Betty Crockett Gilmore was also.
I don't remember.
Was Crockett Gilmore a player?
That's the early days, 2015.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So here's a funny, one more final note here. Number 100 and number 107 was Mr. Necessary and Mr. Very Necessary.
Oh, come on. Mr. Necessary was great.
Yeah, Charles Clay. That was a good time.
Jameson Target. I forgot about that. Wow. Okay.
Oh, there's so many dumb names.
I'm sure we will have some social media content surrounding this vote. So we'll share the results out there.
And guys, we have one final thing for you before we close down show 1500. No. We do have a special congrats video we want to play from the Foot Clan.
Oh, and really?
And a special congrats from us here at Foot Clan HQ. We are just so thankful to be a part of this. And so this quick video really summarizes just how meaningful you guys are to everybody.
Hi guys, it's Julia, one of your writers. Congratulations on 1500 shows.
Congratulations, ballers, on 1500 episodes.
Each day when you welcome us into the show, Andy, it feels as if you are welcoming us into your own home to shoot the breeze, converse with friends.
Beyond just the regular fantasy football stuff, I just want to thank you guys for a show that made a 40-year-old woman think that she really, truly could pivot her career.
My kids and I listen to you guys in the car every single day, and they've enjoyed it so much that they've wanted to start their own fantasy leagues. We now have a league with my siblings and their kids, and it's just really been a great thing to bond over together.
For an hour every day, we get to do what we love with you guys, Andy, Mike, and Jason.
I'd like to thank you guys for being incredible fantasy football analysts, but more than that, for being incredible people and being incredible men who really appreciate all people, but appreciate women in this space. And that means a lot to me. It means a lot to me.
And yes, you do offer us your expert fantasy analysis and advice, but you do something so much more important than that. You put a smile on our faces.
So congratulations. Thanks for all that you do. And I'm just super proud to be a tiny part of something so great.
And most importantly of all, go Adam Thielen. Congratulations.
Congratulations on 1500 episodes. Looking forward to the next 1500.
Oh, that's... You sneaky scoundrels. Once again, surprising us. That was very sweet.
Yeah, thank you, Julia. Oh my God. Thank you, everybody.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This has been, I mean, it's a little surreal in the respect of how much time has passed since the beginning.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? I mean, it's like
15,000 hours of talking. It's unbelievable. It's truly.
It is unbelievable.
It's almost impossible.
Impossible to believe.
Hey. Yeah. And yes, seriously, thank you, everyone listening. What a ride. Thank you for
that. Yeah, and let's be clear. I mean, that was some very nice stuff said about the three of us, but we are a
team.
Yeah, we are just like a reflection of the people around us in every respect, from the production staff to our dev team to everybody, you know, Papa Josh handling customer support, Betsy and Kyle and what they do on the other podcasts and
the Foot Clan.
Yeah, I mean, we started this because we believed that fantasy was a lot more than trying to, you know, increase your bank account on a weekly basis or, you know, even finishing first in your league. Like, one person does that every year, but everybody plays together. And so, you know, I've seen some comments this past week on show 1500 of people just saying, like, they look forward to the daily routine of fantasy football. And that's really what it is. You play the whole year. And there's only one day the championship happens. And you got, you know, 364 other days where you're part of the routine of fantasy, which we think is really fun and fills people with, like, you know, camaraderie and connection and all that. So that's why we do it. And we really appreciate everybody. So thank you so much. No more surprises back there.
That's it.
Now you're sending the Borgogan right back out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Get him out that door.
Get out of here, Kyle.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you
so much, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.